Tell me who your parents were first.
Well, my parents lived in the north of Ireland at, in County Down at a small, at a country town there, Banbridge. I suppose you've never heard of it.
It's a long way away.
And we were three girls of us.
Just making sure it's coming out, isn't it?
We were given a good education, all brought up very... I think my father and mother were very far-seeing. There were no boys, and we got a good education. My sister was a doctor, and...
The other sister married...
My other sister married... was
Dr.
Peggy's
Belfast
mother. Yes.
Sounds an interesting family, actually.
Yes.
Were you the eldest, Margaret? Or
yes, I was the eldest. Mm. I was born in 1876. Next year I'll be 100.
Tell me about your parents. What were they like?
Well, my father was a... he was in the linen trade, in the linen business, because Banbridge is a great centre of the linen business. And my mother was a... She was very handsome, wasn't she, Peggy?
She was a handsome woman, yes.
Yes, very handsome.
And you had a very happy childhood. A happy childhood.
Oh, very. Did very. You? We had, could do anything we liked. And we were never... We were brought up to do, allowed to do most things.
It was a very free family, wasn't
very
it?
Very free, yes.
Mm.
And we were...
And you knew, Margaret, you knew lots of... You knew two families with lots of boys.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So they weren't segregated.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So you had lots of friends as
lots
a child.
Of friends, yes. Mm. One family had there were six boys and the other was five, so no girls at all, so we had quite a lot of fun, you know, of every kind. We played hockey and we played with one of the early hockey people.
Were you really? Yes.
Yes, and...
You say your father was in the linen business.
Yes.
Was he a manufacturer? A
yes, they had the factory was there. It was a factory called William Walker and Company, and he was one of the managing directors.
Was he?
Yes.
Yes. And your mother, she didn't go out to work, I suppose?
Oh, no. Oh, dear, no. Not but... No. Well, she wasn't. No.
How did she spend her time?
Well,
running the house.
It was a big house, you see, and a garden, a very big garden.
How many servants?
Beg your pardon?
How many servants?
Oh, well, there was only one. When they were very young, we had two, a nurse and but only one at the most later on. But we had a large garden, plenty of fruit, and my father was very keen on flowers.
Was it a big house? I mean, how many rooms did it have?
No, it wasn't. Well, it was... well, it was... We don't have any room. One, two... Three, four... About five, six bedrooms. Oh, yes, it was a big house in its own way. It was a very old house. And it was... difficult, of course, to, in those times you had to, I suppose, keep everything going.
Mm. So your mother was quite busy running the house?
Oh, yes, really. She was quite busy running the house. She was belonged to the nursing society and all that sort of thing.
Yes, I was going to ask you, did she do any
charity
and things like that?
Well, oh yes, outside. She was at the nursing society.
Was she? What was that actually, Margaret?
Well, you know what town runs a nursing society that looks after the people, poorer people. And of course, the factory employing a lot of women, there was always somebody. had to be looked after.
So it was connected with the factory, really?
Well, they came into it.
Yes.
More or less.
Yes. Tell me the $64,000 question. Were they Protestants or Catholics?
Protestants.
I thought they were, yes. Were they very keen Protestants?
Well, we were brought up Unitarians, you see.
Were you?
Which is a very forward-looking religion then, it was. We never thought of any difference between Protestant and Catholic. That never occurred to us.
I see, yes.
As children.
Yes.
No.
And you were Unitarian yourself as a child? I mean, you went with your parents?
Oh, yes, of course. Mm. Yes.
Because that's quite unusual, Unitarianism. It's usually the most intelligent people who are Unitarians at that time, isn't it?
Yes.
So was your father a liberal?
No, my mother was more liberal. My father was a strong unionist.
Oh, was he? Yes.
But my mother was more liberal.
Yes. So they were against home rule, really?
Oh no, not against home rule. My mother was a home ruler, but my father wasn't, I should think.
Mm, that's interesting, yes. So were they very religious people, Margaret, would you say?
No, in fact,
not really at all. Yes.
No.
Yes. So what sort of education did they give you?
Well, we went to... There was a... Banbridge had a very good reputation for education. There was a ladies' collegiate school that we were all at, every one of us. And then we went to Victoria College, Belfast.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
You went away to boarding school first. You were sent to boarding school.
Well,
Derry, weren't you?
Oh yes, I went, and so did Jean, yes, she did. Then we went to Victoria College, and then my sister, she qualified as a doctor there.
At Queen's, yes, I see.
Yes, Queen's.
Did you have a good education? You must have done if you went to university.
Yes, we had, yes.
It was very unusual for a girl to go to university then, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it was, yes. Mm. But my father believed in the, you see, here there were no boys, so he believed in that.
He believed in education?
Oh, yes, quite.
Yes. So did you talk about politics at home at all?
I don't think so particularly.
You didn't talk to your sisters about...
We didn't begin to that till after they died. They were both very young. They were only 60 when they died, and then we had to go to fend for ourselves. Mm. You see, because of course naturally there wasn't so much left at that time, and we went to live in Whitehead, a village in County Antrim.
That's all three sisters?
Yeah.
You mean?
Oh, no. My second sister was married then.
I see. So you and your youngest sister went to live...
Yes, she was married then before they left home. Mm. But then my younger sister and I went together and we took a house there.
Mm. And how old were you actually, Margaret, when your mother and father died then?
Well, they died in, my mother died in 1903, my father died in 1904.
So you were really quite young, really, when they died.
Well, it wasn't, I wouldn't say so.
You were in your 20s, weren't you?
30.
30, yes.
But we hadn't done anything, you see, we'd been at home all this time. Mm. However, then I thought, well, I can use my education for teaching. And I did.
So you went to university. What did you do at university then?
I went to the old Royal University and took my degree in mathematics.
Did you?
Yeah.
It must have been most unusual. I mean, it's unusual for a woman to go to university, let alone to do mathematics, isn't it?
I never thought of that. Nobody ever said so. At least I didn't notice that that at all.
Mm. Did you have a lot of help from school teachers or from people at the university? I mean, did you...
No. You see, the Royal was an external university. We went to Victoria College to get it. You see, that was a girls' school.
One
of the foremost girls' schools in Belfast.
Yes.
And then we took your degree outside.
I see. So you stayed at home while you were doing your degree, did you?
Oh, no, that was after my father and mother died.
I see. I'm beginning. I see. So all the time.
Home. Yes, that's right.
What did you do at home then? When
we played hockey and we're great on hockey.
Were you?
Well, you see, hockey was just beginning then. We had learned it at school and all that sort of. So we had a very good team, and we had a mixed team, and we used to go about playing matches all over the place.
So you didn't have a career in mind at all. You were just staying at home.
Not at that time.
Mm.
No.
Mm. And you helped your mother in the house, I suppose, did you? And
yes. We had a great social life too, a lot.
Did you?
Yes.
What, parties and balls? And
yes, well, you had parties and all that sort of thing, dances and all sort of thing.
Mm.
And we had that very, you would remember, I don't know what the date was, it was a very severe frost. We skated a lot that year.
You seem to have had a very good time.
Oh, yes, I have nothing to complain of in that sense.
What did you see yourself as doing? Did you see yourself as having a career at all, really, as a young woman?
Not then, but of course afterwards, when when I began teaching, then I went on, you see, and then I went to rugby and taught in a girls' school there.
So
in this school that's a sister school to rugby, you see.
I see, yes,
and then after that I came back to Bray, County Wicklow, and took over the headmistership of that, and the lady that owned that school died just when I was only there one term, and I took it over.
Did you really? When would that be? How old were you then?
Beg your pardon?
How old were you then when you took over as headmistress?
26 was the year I took it over.
1926. Mm. I see, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I see. So, if I can sort of recap, you were at home, you were at school till you were about 18, were you, or that sort of age, were you?
Oh, I was older than that when I left home,
you see,
when my mother and father died.
Mm. But your schooling lasted until you were 18, did it? Or that sort of age, did it? Or were you younger when you left school? When
16, I don't know.
You stayed till about 16, did you, at school?
As a young girl? It must have been 18 or 19.
And then you stayed at home until your parents died.
Yeah, we were all at home at that time.
Well, you were engaged at that time, weren't you?
Oh, well, we don't talk about that.
Well,
that was the Boer War, dear.
I was going to say, yes, but the thing
you
was,
were engaged
if he
to somebody
hadn't died, you would have married and had a family.
Goodness me, you had a fiancé who was killed in the Boer War.
He went out to the Boer War and didn't come back. That was
dreadful. Yeah.
Which was a good thing for me.
Well, it enabled you to have a career, I suppose. But
a good thing for everybody who got the vote out of that.
So anyway, you left home when your parents died.
Oh,
so,
yes.
So then you went to university, was that right?
Oh, no,
I
finished then. I finished with the university then.
Oh, I
see. Finished with what I was doing, yes.
I see. Yes. And so then you went out to teach when your parents died.
When I came back, yes, when they had gone, you see. Well, yes. That was what I could do, you see, best.
What did you teach, mathematics or everything?
In the school, you mean? Yes, I taught in rugby, I did, yes, mostly that.
So when did you first get involved with suffrage?
Well, when I was when they began, the WSPU began, that must be about 1908 or so in Belfast, you see. We were quite close to Belfast then. We lived in Whitehead, in the village there.
And you were teaching then, while you were living with your youngest sister?
Right.
Yes, I see. But you were teaching in a village school, were you, or local school?
It was just an ordinary school that, what they call these private schools, you know, that you have.
So
used to go up in the train to Belfast, you see, back and forwards every day.
Well, what gave you the idea of women's suffrage? I mean, had you always thought like that?
Well, it began then, you see, the WSPU began.
Yes.
And I joined that. Well, I was always keen on everything like that. So I was interested in people. I was very fond of it. I'm more interested in people and things.
And which was the person who influenced you to join the movement then? Did you?
Yes.
Did you hear a speech or did you?
W Women's Social and Political Union.
Yes.
We joined that rather than the Mrs. Despard's one.
The Women's Freedom League.
Yes.
But
because they were doing something. It was something to be done.
Yes.
I think something actually to be done.
Can you remember first joining?
Well, it was... I can't remember exactly first joining. I don't remember. There was a meeting, somebody held a meeting, and I remember speaking at a... What was it?
Independent Labour Party.
Yes, that's right. So that we're Independent Labour organisation. Somebody asked me to speak of that. They knew I was interested in that. And I was interested in the white slave traffic at that time, which was rather talked about a good deal. I remember that quite well.
And you were a good speaker, were you?
Well, I wasn't afraid to speak out. One man got up in the meeting, it was a mixed meeting, and one man got up and said, didn't I think that I said, any questions, you see, and I said, he got up and said, did I not think that we'd all be better looking after these fallen women? I just got up and said to him, I said, I object to the term fallen women, I said, and I said, I'm sure that all the ladies were very glad to help. I said, if the men promised to help the fallen men. He sat down.
This might be in your way, I'll move it a bit.
It's all right, dear.
But, so, anyway, you joined the WSPU in Belfast,
yes,
did you?
Yes, that was, they had quite a good branch there. And then whenever we're going to have this petition, they asked somebody to come over to represent the Belfast branch. So Dr. Elizabeth Bell, she was one of the first women to get her doctor's degree. And I went over.
You went over to England, you mean?
To London, yes, that's right. We came over to London.
Who ran the Belfast branch? Who was the secretary? I ought to know, but I don't.
Well, Dr. Elizabeth Bell was in it, and Dr. Andrews, there was lots of people in it, of the Belfast women who were keen on that sort of thing.
Were they Catholic women or Protestant
women? Oh, I never thought of asking their religion. Nobody bothered with them.
But they were professional people like you, really?
Yes,
like teachers?
Yes, they were.
Were there other teachers there as well?
Oh, yes, I expect there were. Mm. Well, I've forgotten who. Oh, yes, the girl. Yes, I suppose there were. I know the first man that bought a paper from us when we were in Belfast was, would you guess, Mr. Ferguson, Massey Ferguson, Massey,
oh.
the tractor people. Mm. He was very keen on the girl that I was with me at the time, and he came over and bought the first paper. And he was a millionaire afterwards.
What did you do in the branch? Can you remember from the beginning?
You sent out, you know what you do in an organisation like that, and you get address envelopes, send out notices of meeting and organise meetings. And we had a procession one day down with bicycles. We tied on a plaque, you know, what do you call them, placard thing, onto our bicycles and walked down the streets. You know, the ordinary things that one does.
And you sold votes for women in the street, did you?
Oh, yes. The paper votes for women, yes. They were able to at the BBC, to find the picture of the man putting in the window at Swarden Edgar's. And they got a print off it for me. Very nice.
That's unusual to sell newspapers in the street. I mean, you couldn't have done that before, did you?
Well, of course, once you got onto the street standing, you had to stand. Nobody could prevent you from doing it as long as you weren't. There were all the people stopped and looked at you, of course. But you didn't mind that sort of thing.
You must have been nervous at first, weren't you?
No, not a bit.
Did anyone shout at you, or was anyone rude to you?
Nobody was ever rude to us.
Mm.
Ever.
So anyway, you sold things in the street, and then what else did you do? Did you become secretary to the branch or anything like that? Or you were obviously quite prominent in the branch.
Oh, well, you see, I had any leisure time I had, I could go up and to the office to see which was in Donegal Place and write postcards and was on the committee and that sort of thing. And we had a Mrs. Pankhurst came over for a meeting in the Ulster Hall. You may have heard of the Ulster Hall.
Yes, I mean, that must have been a big event for you, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, exactly. Organising the meeting, of course, was a great excitement. We got all the boys from Queens and all that sort of thing to help to give out things.
The students were in favour of women's suffrage, were they, the undergraduates?
Well, we made all our friends in favour of it anyway. I think they didn't know what they were doing for a while.
Did you talk to Mrs. Pankhurst yourself?
Oh, yes. I met her at the office, you see, when we were over that time.
What was she like?
She was a very nice woman, very nice. I liked Mrs. Patrick Lawrence, I think, better.
Mrs. Patrick Lawrence was a very beautiful woman, wasn't she? Very, very striking.
Mr. Patrick Lawrence, or Lord Patrick Lawrence, as he was afterward, paid all our fines, you know.
Yes, oh, he was a fine person.
He was, yes, he did.
Yes. Were you all very nervous when Mrs. Pankhurst came over? I mean, you must have been anxious about it.
No. There was no opposition of you of that sort of thing.
I suppose most people at that time were interested in Home Rule and Irish questions, weren't they?
Yeah, well, they were, more or less, yes, they were.
Mm. Mm. So why did you get sent over to England then? Why did they choose you? as a delegate for the branch?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose you had to volunteer for that, you see. Nobody wanted to go. Some people couldn't go. Lots of the married women couldn't go, you see.
And you were free to go?
And I was free at the time to go.
What about your younger sister? Did she join as well?
Oh, yes, she was a member. Oh, yes, she was. And then she was at Queen's at the time.
I see, yes.
I guess she was...
she was qualifying as a doctor.
She was studying for her degree, her doctor's degree.
Mm. So she couldn't do very much.
Well, she didn't want to lose that.
She had to look after her career, really.
She went out to France with the... Scottish Women's Hospital in the war.
Did she really? She with did. Elsie Inglis?
Yes, to Royalmont.
Yes, did she? Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you went over to England as a delegate. Did you go to England more than once then? I mean, did you
That was the only time.
When you broke the window?
Then afterwards, of course, as I say, I was teaching. And of course, you can't be much of a... I don't think you could be much of a violent suffragette in a Nailey school.
That's
Do you
quite
think
fair.
So?
No, I agree.
Not at that time.
So when you broke the windows in Swan and Edgar, was that when you were on the deputation from Belfast to England?
Yes, that was the night we were presenting this. All the windows in
Regent Street.
All those shipping windows, don't you know, yes. Cockspur Street and all right.
Cunard.
They were all
yes. yes, yes.
We got Swan and Edgar's.
How was it arranged, Margaret?
I don't know how it was, Ben. I've no idea how they arranged it, but they just told us that was the one they wanted us to do. And I did it because I had the stone by the first flack it went.
But were you given stones at a sort of...
Oh, yes, yes.
You went to the headquarters, did you?
Well, no, they gave them to us before we went to the... they gave it to us before we went to march, you know. We all marched as far as we could get. But a line of policemen were there, and that was that.
Did you put any protection on, cardboard protection or anything like that? Because some people did, didn't they?
No, we didn't.
Mm. So then you went off to break your windows after you'd been stopped?
Well, after we were turned back, you see. That was the what we were told to do. That was the instruction.
So you all went one by one to your windows, did you?
Well, there was two together always.
And you went with somebody else to Swan and Edgar?
Huddleston, I think somebody called Mrs. Huddleston.
Mm.
Forgot her name, it's a while ago, you know.
Oh, you bet it is, yeah. So, can you remember what happened? It must have been very worrying, I would have thought.
Well, there were policemen there and we were arrested, taken to Vine Street, you know, if you know where that is. I didn't know. And they were charged before, I suppose there was a magistrate there, and then he remanded us for a fortnight, and I went to stay with some friends then, in London.
Did you have a hostess in London to look after you?
No.
Because they had hostesses, didn't they, for visitors, and
you went
to a friend?
Well, I knew where to go because I was going to stay with somebody. That I knew, I mean friends of mine.
Who
stayed with me and Polly.
Oh, did you?
Yes, for a fortnight.
So you broke, you hit your windows, did you?
Oh, I broke it, sis, the first shot.
So what happened when you broke the window? Did everyone crowd round you or what? What happened?
Well, didn't bother with that. You see, the policemen were there. Whether they had got an idea that we were going to do something like that, I couldn't tell you, but there were policemen there.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a big crowd of other people? A big crowd of other people?
Oh, there was a big crowd of the suffragettes. Tremendous, tremendous crowd from all over the place, you see.
Mm.
Thousands of them. Because it was a big rally, if you know what I mean.
Yes, yes.
They were up from all parts of the of England, and I don't think there were so many from Ireland.
And then you went, you were on remand, and then you were tried, were you?
Then
I mean, when you were on remand, and then were you put in prison after
well
that?
Then on remand, and then when we went to court at the Central Criminal Court, the old judge said to me, he says, now, he was sitting, he was a very old man, he was sitting, these eyes shut, he said, I'll let you off if you promise not to do it again. I said, no, my lord, I will not promise to do it again, I'm Irish. So he said, 2 months, second division.
So you went straight to Holloway?
Straight to Holloway in Black Maria.
What was it like in the Black Maria?
Just ordinary. Of course, there were, in those days, there was a man governor, a man doctor. We had a very nice wardress in our block. But you know, when we got in there shortly after that, it got very hot because there was hot pipe through the middle of it. And you know what a little cell is with the hot pipe and it, no window open. So we had to break the window in the prison. The heel of our shoes, we got up on the table. And now they have little sliding windows in Holloway that you can open. They have a woman doctor, they have a woman governor. Now.
So you went into your cell, you had a cell of your own?
Oh yes, we had a single cell.
What was it like in there?
Well, it was just an ordinary little prison cell, a bed, a table and a chair. That's all there was. So we didn't get treatment, we didn't get political treatment.
So did you, what happened during the day when you were in prison? Did you go out for exercise?
We went out for an hour in the morning. We were allowed out from there.
And what did you, you walked around, with other?
Walked around the grounds, yes. Mm. You ever been in Holloway?
No. I haven't.
I believe it's quite different now. I was talking to, this time at a meeting about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I met assistant governor of Holloway because somebody was anxious that I belong to the National Council of Women here. They very kindly elected me a member. And she was coming to give a lecture, so I went to the meeting.
Did you talk to the other suffragettes while you were exercising?
Well, when we were outside, of course we were, yes. Oh, yes.
So that gave you some company?
Oh, yes, that's right. Mm. You could get books, but then the books that you got, something like Eric or Little Before by Little or something.
You mean they weren't good books?
Oh, they were so dreadful. I mean, you couldn't get anything that could keep your mind off anything. However, I had several visitors. You were allowed a visitor.
Who came to see you?
Well, one of the boys from Queens, Salford Emerson, came to me, a doctor. He came to see me. Somebody else came to see me. It wasn't bad at all. I mean, once or twice in the 2 months.
But you must have felt very lonely in the cell by yourself, didn't you?
Yes, to a certain extent you did. You were just making up your mind what you would do next.
So you couldn't read? You couldn't.
Well, you could read if you had a book, if you'd had a book. I think somebody did bring in a book, Liz. I'll show you my prison badge.
Oh, did you shout to other suffragettes in other cells?
Or well, we used to do Morse code on the pipe, occasionally. You see, the pipes, the pipe went through, it was just an ordinary big pipe, you know, it went right round the whole floor and across all the different rooms, and we used to do the Morse code occasionally, who wanted to stop. But then I didn't get forcibly fed, which was a good thing, I suppose.
You didn't hunger strike?
Well, I didn't do that, because I knew when I'd come out I'd have to go back to work, you see.
You were self-employed?
Yes,
and you,
I must do that.
Of course, yes. Mm. Were any of the people forcibly fed who went in with you?
Well, there was one girl that afterwards went to Aylesbury. I was just asking the Miss Downham, who was the assistant governor, what they were doing with them. She said they were... of course, it's quite different now, you know, in Holloway, of what it was then. And I said, where were they sending the prisoners, or what were they doing? Of course, they were a different type altogether. I would like to have gone in to see it, but you see...
What did you do all the day then, when you were in your cell?
Oh, well, you just had to either read or amuse yourself just by thinking. Of course, you had your own clothes and that sort of thing.
And you had meals to eat?
Yes, we had our meals, which were very bad.
Were they?
Well, they were, you know, what the food wasn't, you know, what it'd be like, stew and that sort of thing.
But it was quite warm in the cell, was it?
Oh, it was too warm. It, as they say, stuffy. You see, there was no outlet whatever.
Mm. Did you do any exercise in the cell? I mean,
no,
some
I
people
didn't.
Did, didn't
I
they?
I didn't anyway. I don't know what the others did.
Mm. Mm. Did you do any mathematics in the cell?
I mean,
but they brought the food in to you, did they?
Oh yes, the wardresses brought the food in. Yeah. We had a very nice wardress in our floor. Very nice wardress.
What did she do for you?
Well, she was sympathetic. I could see that. And when we were all going out, she, at the time, you see, she said goodbye to us nicely and all the rest of it, and said how good we'd been and all. She was very nice.
Did you do your whole 2 months?
Two.
2 months?
Yes. Mm. Oh, yes. We got no remission.
What happened when you came out?
Well, I went home then. I went back to Ireland and started to... my work again, and then I had to, you see, as I say, once you started doing schoolwork and getting schoolwork, I couldn't do anything more.
No, of course not.
But of course I went to the meetings and that sort of thing in Belfast.
When you came out of prison, did they greet you?
Oh yes, I had a great reception when I came out. I had to go and tell them all about it, you see.
So you went to a WSPU meeting?
Oh yes, we had a meeting.
Mm.
In Belfast, Margaret, or in London?
No, in Belfast.
In Belfast.
Oh yes.
And did they all admire you for what you'd done?
Well, I think they did.
Because you were the only one who'd been to Holloway from Belfast, I suppose.
Well, there was nobody else from there.
Mm.
Dr. Elizabeth Bell had to go back to her practice, you see.
Mm.
She was... she was married in any case.
What did your sister think about it?
Oh, she was waiting just for me to come out. Then you must remember the war came. We worked up to 1914, you see, the war came.
You stayed in the WSPU till the war
broke
out?
Well, it dissolved, you see. All the all the weight of the women's organization was thrown into the war.
And you carried on going to meetings right the way up till the war?
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Mm. And you were teaching in the daytime?
Or teaching in any time you gave to anything you could do, or have meetings and that sort of thing. Supposed to blame me for most things that happened. Somebody burnt an empty house down and near me, near where we lived, and of course you're blamed for that.
But you didn't do it?
No, I did not do it. I knew who did it. But I knew somebody came over from, one of the English people came over. I don't know who. And I knew she'd been there, but I didn't bother. I mean, we couldn't. You can't. In a way, as you know, with the teaching or in the scholastic line, there's not much you can do of that kind of thing. Unless you're either on one side or the other.
Mm.
Well, not in those days.
No.
Not in those days. You had to toe the line.
Well, you had, yes, because there was no... you see, you hadn't the time to begin with. When you have a school, you haven't time to do anything.
What about the holidays?
Well, the holidays, then you were glad to get them. You're after 13 weeks of having a school with 50 girls in it, you're tired.
Was it a private school?
Yes, a private school.
So you must have been worried about what the parents would think, weren't you?
Well, you would be worried about it if you had to do both, if you know what I mean. You just had to give up the other thing in the meter, but then it was being settled. It had been settled because it was settled after the war. They got the vote, and that was the main thing. Now they had to use it.
But did the parents know you'd been in prison?
Some of them did, some of them didn't.
And they didn't mind?
But they all knew, they didn't seem to mind.
And they thought they might think you were a bad influence on their girls.
No, I don't think we did. I don't think they did.
No.
Because the girls tell me that they come to see me very often. I have lots of them. Some of them living in the in England. They always tell me that they never forget some things I told them.
Did you like teaching? Did you like teaching?
I'm very fond of girls and I'm very fond of young things like that.
And so you enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it, yes.
Mm. Mm. And did you teach them hockey?
Oh, well, we had the games, mistress, you see.
You made sure they learned some hockey?
Oh, yes, they had hockey and lacrosse. We were the first school in Ireland to play lacrosse.
Mm. Your first school was the rugby school, was it? Or was it, rugby came afterwards, did it?
Oh, no, it wasn't.
Your first one was at...
In Belfast. Mm. Yes, and then I went to rugby.
Mm.
No, I went to Scotland then.
Inverness.
I went to Scotland.
Inverness, wasn't it?
Inverness. Liked Scotland very much.
What made you move to Inverness?
Well, it was a better position, you see.
And then you went...
I went then in Vanessa's head of the staff there, you see. And then I went to rugby as head of the staff.
When you say head of the staff, you mean headmistress?
Not headmistress, but head of the staff.
And then from rugby you went back to Ireland?
I went back to the French school as Miss... as the lady's assistant, you see. And then she died she was only there one term with me.
Mm.
And she expressed a wish that if I wanted to buy the school, I could.
Mm.
So I did.
You bought it?
I bought it.
Mm. And then, did you stay in that job for the rest of your life?
I stayed until I retired.
Did you really?
When I was 58.
Did you?
I didn't do it too long. I thought I'd done enough then.
Mm.
But of course that makes a great, made a great difference when in the things have changed so much.
Oh yes, yes. What happened in the First World War? I mean, what did you do? Did you do any war work? Or?
Well, my sisters, I told you, went to France. And I wanted to go too, to do something with, but they wouldn't take teachers in the front. They wouldn't.
So you stayed in Ulster?
No, they wouldn't do anything you volunteered for. They wouldn't take teachers because there was shortage, you see. Education was the first thing. They didn't let anybody go, if possible.
So did you do any war work in your spare time?
Oh, well, you spent your time knitting socks and knitting jumpers and knitting things, that sort of thing. I don't know whether it was any good or not.
But you lost contact with Mrs. Pankhurst then?
Well, you see, there was nothing doing in that sort of thing because they'd got the vote. And the thing was to use it and make them use it. I'm always... We in Ireland are a bit backward in that. I don't know if you wouldn't notice it because you don't live in Ireland. Have you ever been?
I have been, yes. It rained for the whole week.
Where? To Trinity? A very good Irish Countrywomen's Association. 30,000 members. And we use that a good deal. And I'm chairman of the Country Markets Association in my little village. That sort of thing, you see. And we try to get them to... I tried to get them into Parliament, into the door, but it's very difficult.
Of course, the Matriarchal Society in Ireland, you know.
Yes. Yes, and they run the home while the men go out to politics.
Yes, and
the
men don't get married until they're quite old, really, comparatively.
Yes. So may I ask you, Margaret, how you used your vote? Did you vote Labour or Liberal or Conservative?
I vote for anybody that I interview, the man, whatever, who's doing it.
You haven't got a fix?
Whoever's the candidate, and I say, and what are you going to do for the women? Will you tell me that? If you do, I'll give you my vote. If not, I will not vote for you.
So,
I don't agree with party politics at all. Because at the minute, because you can't do it. If you don't get any good, the women won't get any good from party politics. They must be on their own. They must be able to say, you must do something for the women and then you'll get the vote, whether you're Labour, Liberal or Conservative.
So you vote according to what they say?
Whatever they do for you, you reward them. That's the way we treat the county councillors. That's who, we've got several councillors out and in by that method, by simply asking them to come and speak at our meeting. And then we say, now Mr. Joyce, are you going to vote for this water scheme that's going into the cottages, or are you not? And if Mr. Joyce says he's going to vote for it, he says, well, you'll get our vote. If he says, no, he doesn't think so, well, I says, you'll lock me in next time. And that settles in. You've got to do that sort of thing. You can't, you really can't do party politics if you want something done in the country.
What did you do in the Second War? Were you still in Ireland in the Second War, Second World War?
Second World War.
You retired before that, hadn't you?
Oh yes, I had retired before the Second World War.
Because you would, yes, but yes.
No, I don't think I, except keep up my ICA work and that sort of thing.
Yes, tell me what the ICA is. What does it do?
It's the Irish Country Women's Association. The same as the National Council of Women or something like that. Do you know it at all?
I've heard of it, yes.
Yes.
Yes. But it's really to get women interested in public life.
In public cleaning, yes, that's right.
Yes. So what did you do for the ICA?
Well, they join and then they have, as a matter of the Irish Country Women's Association is more to get the country women to be interested in something outside the house. We try to have meetings for them and have lectures for them and encourage them to grow vegetables. And then we have a market every week in the summertime and sell their produce to the visitors and give them the money, you see, that they would, the proper money that we would get in the shop for them.
Like the Women's Institute,
and that
really
goes into that goes into the bank. They're paid every month, the same as if we had bought it at the shop.
Yes.
We don't undercut the shops, if you know what I mean.
So are you an official in the ICA? Do you hold office in the ICA?
Oh, yes, the head office is in Dublin.
But are you a secretary of a branch or?
I'm the chairman of the branch.
In your village?
In my village.
How long have you been chairman?
Well, before that I was, what do you call it, the...
Secretary or treasurer?
No, neither. Right. Controller.
That managing the food, you mean?
Getting the people, getting the members to come and you have to get the members to come and sell. You see, they have to come and sell the produce.
Mm. Mm. So that's the main thing you've done in Ireland, apart from teaching.
Lately, that's the last thing we've been doing. Well, first of all, I organised the Red Cross during the war. I've forgotten about that. I was the commandant for our village.
And the village is what's the village name?
The village was Letterfrack.
How do you spell that?
Letterfrack.
Yes.
Letterfrack.
I see. Yeah.
Just beside Moyard, you see. All these little villages are like about 3 miles different and all the way down.
And when did you move there then, Margaret? After you retired or?
No, we went... we had this house before I retired to go in the summertime to, you see.
So you retired to your summer house?
Retired there then, yes, that's right.
And this is in Aire, is it, rather
yes.
than in Ulster?
Oh yes, it's in Letterfrack. You've heard of Kyle Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of Kyle Moore Abbey?
I don't know Ireland at all.
No,
well.
No, don't expect you do. Not the West anyway.
No.
You see, we're 50 miles from Galway.
Are you really? Yes.
And it's right on the seaboard. The islands, Inishturk, Inishbofin, Inishark, are just off Cleggan, and then you're just there. The islands are out there.
I see, yes.
Yes. Nothing between you and America.
So what else have you done? You've done the Red Cross, the ICA, anything else that you've done while you've been there? You've been active in village life, really, have you?
Oh, yes. Anything that goes on. We play bridge. We have a bridge club.
Have you?
And I play play every week or maybe twice a week.
Do you really?
Yes.
It must have been very strange coming to London for you, when you came on your deputation.
Yes, but you must remember that I was coming from...
From Belfast.
Mm-hmm. From Belfast.
Yes, the other way up.
The other way up, it's
this way up,
yes. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, sorry.
It's all right. Yes, you must remember.
You said you knew Grace Rowe. What was she like when you knew her?
Well, she was young, of course, really younger than she is today. She was a tall person, isn't she?
That's right.
Yes, and nice woman she was, very nice.
She's younger than you.
Oh, she is younger than me, yes.
She's 91, I think.
91?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I met her last year.
Did you?
Mm.
Yeah, so when I was in London, of course, that at that time she was always with Christabel, you know.
And you saw Christabel too, I suppose.
Oh, yes.
What was she like?
Well, she was, of course, she was full of enthusiasm. And how she began the whole thing was at Winston Churchill's meeting, you know. But she was thrown, she and Annie Kenny were thrown out of that.
Yeah, so Mrs. Perrett Lawrence too.
Oh yes, he was nice. He was a gentle kind of a person, very nice. Mm. Different temperament altogether from Mrs. Banker.
Was she?
No, yeah, she was.
How did she differ, really?
I don't know. Well, she differed in that she was more... Mrs. Pankhurst, she'd been too quick, you know. She wanted to do things in a hurry, I think. She and Christabel was rather like that too, things to be done in a hurry.
Sort of impetuous.
Yes,
really.
Impetuous. Mm. But Mrs. Pethick Lawrence would have gone on quietly and, you know, trying to get underneath and get things started, I think. Better.
She was a good organiser.
Oh, very. Mm. And of course she had her husband to help her. He was very key. Mm.
Did you hear, you heard Mrs. Pankhurst speak?
Oh, yes.
Can you tell me what she was like as a speaker? She was a very good speaker, wasn't she?
Oh, very. Oh, yes, she had a command of everything. She was very enthusiastic, you see, about everything. So therefore, she would be a good speaker. Because she wanted the thing done quickly. And that book, this Mr. What
Rosen.
Is his name?
Rosen.
He said.
Did she use her hands very much? I mean, when she was talking, Mrs. Pankhurst? Just stand and?
Well, she was able to get up and speak very well. She was a very good speaker.
Mm.
You see, she was emotional in a way. And as you see by that thing there, the some of those cases would have stirred her very much, you see, that she could do nothing unless she had got a good backing, you see. It was the frustration that you felt, that you could do nothing. The only way, of course, was to get the vote to try.
Because you were worried about social questions, like...
Well, the social, I like what that she gives there, the example, that it really was... You really felt you got to go around and bang everybody's head about it.
About the white slave.
Yes, about the white slave traffic, and about that poor, unfortunate child and all the rest. When you get examples like that, you just feel...
angry.
Well, you just feel frustrated because if you can do nothing, and at the time you couldn't do anything.
Mm. Did you ever meet any aunties?
Oh, I've met many aunties, yes, I have. Not so many. They all agree with you. In fact, I think more people now agree with you. The younger generation seem quite keen. I'm always meeting somebody. Oh, how wonderful it was and all the rest of it, you know. I wouldn't have done that, they said. Mm. I couldn't do that. Were you not afraid? I said, afraid of what?
What do you think of Women's Lib?
Keen on Women's Lib. I want to know, what do they want to be liberated for? Haven't they got the vote? Use it.
But you mentioned there was somebody with you when you were breaking your windows. You can't remember what she was called, her name.
I think it was a Mrs. Huddleston, but I think she's gone long ago. I'm sure she has.
Mm.
There was one that went, one girl, I've forgotten her name too, but she went to Aylesbury prison afterwards, because she said she had cut a piece out of a book. She'd evidently got a book out of the library, She tore a piece out of the book, the back of it, you know, an advertisement, and she wrote a whole lot, a letter on this, and smuggled it out to send her a cake for Christmas. So this was afterwards, she knew my address, you see, and afterwards I did send it to her, to Aylesbury Prison. I don't know why they were sent there. I suppose there wasn't room.
They wanted to split you up.
Perhaps there wasn't room for them in Holloway. Mm. Because they were, I think they were forcibly feeding them then. And you remember Lady Constance Lynn?
Yes. Mm.
They didn't know she was Jane Warden.
Mm. You did you ever disagree with Pankhurst's policy?
No, do you mean the violence?
Yes, yes.
No.
You thought
not
it was...
Not until we got the vote, you see. After that, there was no reason for it. You'd got the vote and all you could do was to organise the women and get them to vote.
But you were never critical of the leaders at all?
No, I never were. No, we weren't.
Mm. And you think it was right to burn houses, do you?
Could you suggest it any other way?
Well, there was Mrs. Fawcett's organisation, wasn't there?
Mrs. Fawcett, yes, and there was Mrs. Despot.
Mm.
She was a gentle person, but then it was so gentle that nobody bothered with it, if you know what I mean.
You never joined the Mrs. Fawcett's society?
No, nothing. It was the WSPU we joined it.
Mm.
I think probably it appealed to the Irish people more.
What, the violent one, you mean?
The one that wanted to make it something, to get something at once.
Mm.
And as you know, that if you attack property in England, you've done the worst thing you could do in the world, I think.
Yes, well, there's something in that. Did you get much support from religious leaders at all in Belfast?
Well, now that I don't think so, because I don't remember any clergymen helping us at all.
Because one of the...
Oh, except I remember telling the rector. He was in Whitehead, he was preaching one day, and he was talking a lot about something, I just forgot, but afterwards I tackled him and said, you know, I said, you have been talking a lot this morning about something that nobody could get up and contradict you, because you know you're there and you can't be contradicted. I said, I would like to have got up and told you what I thought about it. He wasn't a bit pleased.
You mean about what?
Whatever he was talking about, I don't remember now, but I remember telling him that, because when we were going out where he was talking to me, and I said, I just told him that. I said, you were standing up there, nobody could contradict you.
Mm.
And I said, anybody could have contradicted you, then got up and said so.
You like an argument, really,
yes,
do you?
Yeah,
I mean, discussion.
Well, I liked common sense, as I said, or have told you that we could have.
Mm. Did you have any ideas about education? I mean, about improving education? Did you have any theories about education at all?
I certainly think they're going the wrong way about it.
Now, you mean?
Now, extremely.
What's wrong now?
Why put them all into one school?
Mm.
That's ridiculous. Mm. And they'll be far too big. Nobody will know anybody else in it.
Mm.
You need individuality in teaching.
Mm.
I'm sure you know that.
Mm. But you didn't have any ideas about teaching girls. I mean, you had no ideas of your own specially.
No, at that time nobody had many ideas about it. You just
did it.
You just did it.
Yes.
You tried to interest them in the thing.
Mm.
And you tried to explain. Mathematics isn't a very that's a very promising thing to teach girls because they don't like it. And you generally have to explain to them why they have to learn mathematics. And geometry, of course, was just something that you... It was amusing in the one way to teach them, because you had to explain every word to them. And I used to tell them it was to try and teach them reasoning power. I said, that's what it's for. I said, there's no other good that I know of in it to teach you a bit of reasoning power. So it was fun in a way, but they don't like it, you see. I don't know why.
Because men used to say, I mean, but you don't agree with that.
Wish grandmother.
What? Why did?
Common sense is what you want to teach them.
You didn't tell me about your mother's family and your father's family. Were they...
Well, my mother's family were Huguenots.
Oh, were they?
Yes, they came from... I have the pedigree down from about the Edict of Nantes.
Do you really? When did they come over from France?
1500 sometime to London.
Did they?
They came after the Edict of Nantes, they came to London. And then they came over to County Down, two brothers.
In the textile business?
No, they weren't textile, they were farming. They were millers, because they had a mill, a farm mill where they had the wheel for grinding corn and did flax and all that sort of thing.
And your mother's parents
That's
were millers, were they?
That's my mother's family, yes. They were Lamonts.
Lamonts?
Lamont. Mm.
And was your... grandfather, your mother's father, was he a miller then?
Well, it would be his great-grandfather that came over, I should think so.
Mm. And he was a miller himself?
Well, I expect he was in charge of this. They built the house there. The house is still there.
Is it really? Yes.
The Lamont has gone from it because the last Lamont went through it like...
Mm.
like a hurricane. Mm. You see, my grandfather married twice. My mother, my mother and her sister and an uncle. They were the first family. Well, then, when my grandfather married again, they didn't like the connection, so they departed. And the younger generation got taken over. No, it was, we often went there, of course.
And your mother was a Unitarian as well, was she?
Beg your pardon?
Your mother was also Unitarian, was she? Like your father. She went to a Unitarian.
Yes, she was. She was. She went to the Money Ray Unitarian Church. I have a photograph of it.
And your father's family, when did they come to Northern Ireland?
They came from from Cumber, near my mother's family. They were in outside Cumber, where the money raised outside Cumber.
And were they textile family?
No, they were more... My father was textile because he was in a York Street spinning mill, you see, from a youngster. He was
in Belfast.
In Belfast, yes, he was.
But he was the first one who went into textiles.
Yes.
Mm. But what did his father do? Do you know? It's a long time back now.
I think he was a builder.
Was he?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. So he was the first generation.
Yes,
Indian.
I know he had some lovely old furniture.
Yeah.
The bucket, Peggy.
Well, the bucket.
Yeah.
Three.
Oh, the factory was a show factory. shoe factory. Anybody came, lots of people came to see it. It's mentioned in a book in Ireland. Somebody called McCarthy or somebody mentioned.
Connected with Robinson Cleavers.
Oh, well, they bought it over, well, you see, afterwards.
Didn't they? Mm.
But the Robinson Cleavers were no, the Robinson of Robinson Cleaver was no connection.
Mm. Mm.
But the...
But was your father a good factory manager?
Oh, I mean, he was. He was very good. Very, very good indeed. Very good.
He was good with people, was
yes,
he?
Yes, he was very good with people.
And good organiser.
Mm.
Mm.
Mm. And he took a big part in the town life, didn't he, Martin?
Oh, yes, he was chairman of the this, that and the other thing, you know.
Was he?
Library committee and...
Active in local
that
government.
Sort of
and the education, and, mm. and the education. He
what?
Was, and the education.
Oh, yes, that's right, he was.
And he was a mason.
He was a JP and all that sort of thing, you know.
Was he nice to you?
Was he?
Was he nice to you as a child? I mean...
To us? Oh, mm. yes, we all... We were very happy. Very happy at home.
And he talked to you quite a lot, did he? And
well, yes. Well, I wouldn't say he talked to us a lot because... But he was very good to us. We were allowed to do anything we liked properly.
And you got on well with your mother as well?
Oh, yes, we adored mm. her.
Did you? Mm. Was she in the suffrage movement?
Beg your pardon?
Was your mother in the suffrage movement?
Well, she couldn't have been, you know.
Well, it started in
no, it didn't
the
start,
1860s.
It started in 1908, at least the...
Oh, not the violent one, not no. the militants, no, no.
Oh, well, it didn't start, I suppose, back in...
It started.
Yes, it did start a good bit. There's some parts of it did.
Mm.
Yes.
It started in
but
the 1860s.
She knew all about, read all about that. She would read about that.
Did she?
And she had books like Betsy Gray and the Hearts of Down and things like that.
She read a lot, did she?
Oh, she did. Oh, yes.
Well, what sort of things? Novels?
No, that was a book about rebels at the 98 Rebellion.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Betsy Gray.
Betsy Gray and the Hearts of Down. Oh, yes.
Mm. Was she a rebel herself?
She Betsy Gray, who?
Your mother.
She was, oh, yes, she was. She was all for the Boers and the Boer War.
Was she? Mm. Was she really?
Yes, she was.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know whether... can you tell me about your fiancé? Would you rather not talk about your fiancé? Your fiancé... She's forgotten about him, has she? Yes.
So long ago.
Yes. Did your mother actually go to meetings in the war? Or I mean, did she oppose the war publicly? Or did she...
1914?
No, the Boer War. Or did she keep quiet about her views?
No, she didn't know. There was no meetings. No, I don't think there were any meetings then.
Mm. That's remarkable, being opposed
to...
She
was... no, I can't remember any meeting.
No, probably not, unless she went into Belfast. I don't know quite how near it is.
Have you been to Belfast?
I have... No.
School, you know.
They come and see you, the girls,
do they? Oh, yes, they do indeed.
Mm. That's a real tribute to a teacher, isn't it, when they come back?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, she still gets lots of cards.
Does she really?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Tell me about your middle sister. She married, didn't
well,
she?
Well, that's Piggy's mother.
Yes.
She married... she married a professor of music, Dr. Keeler. He was the... Dr. Keeler.
Mm.
He was the... conductor of the Philharmonic Society in Belfast.
In Belfast?
Yes.
Yeah. You were very well connected in Belfast, weren't
oh,
you?
Oh, yes, they were all there.
Mm.
And my third sister is the wife of Sir Ivan McGill, the famous anaesthetist.
I see, she married after she got her...
In London. They lived in London.
I see.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. He has done the royal family of... from one end to the other.
Has he really? Well. Yeah. We live... do you really?
Dr. Price Thomas.
Yes. Mm. He's our next door neighbour. I mean, you probably knew the father, did you? The Queen's...
His father
was Queen, the Queen's doctor.
He came in to see me once. He got her MD too.
Did she really?
Yes, she got it. She was on the London County Council for school children.
Was
and she?
And she
wrote a treatise on twins.
Did she really?
Yes, she did.
You say she went
she
to...
She got her MD.
She went to the war, to the...
And then she went out
to Royalmont. What did she do there then? Nursing,
all the women were out there that were all women, sir, you know.
Mm.
Miss Ivins was there and Dr... What did they call that one that lived in Devonshire Place?
Well, Dr. Inglis, of course. Was
who? Dr. Inglis, yes. Yeah. But she was Serbia.
Yes,
she was Serbia.
Yes. So she stayed out at Royalmont all the war, did she?
Although they were married, Sir Ivan was in the war, you see, and he was blown up at Lewes.
Was he?
And then he was in hospital there.
Mm.
And she was at Royalmont at the time, so she... She went over to see him in some hospital near Amiens.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
And she walked right through, of course she was in uniform, but she walked right through to the, right back to the hospital. Nobody ever said, who are you, what are you?
Mm.
She might have been the biggest spy that ever
walked. Mm.
Brian lives next door to the Price Thomas's.